In the email that you sent me, I wanted to ask you about this. You used the phrase middle school problem.
Right.
What is the middle school problem that you were talking about?
Well, if you look through history, and I don't know the whole history, you can see that there are models of K through 8 schools, and there are models of middle schools, and there's still some junior highs, 7th, 8th, 9th, and there's still some K through 12s, okay, in Alabama. The middle school model is one that is sort of embraced as this is what we want to do. But when you look at the way Alabama funds middle schools, that's where we have our highest divisors, okay? Divisors are the number of kids in a classroom that earn a teacher unit through the state-funded foundation program. For instance, for every last year, for every 20.45 students in grades 7 and 8, you earned a state-funded teacher unit. Dr. Bice, our state superintendent of education, had asked to lower that divisor to 19 because he realizes these are important years. You'll hear Dr. Bice say a lot of times, middle school is where kids start dropping out. Dropping out starts in the sixth grade. When you get overaged children in middle school, they don't make it through high school. So we know that there's some issue. Another example, when you look at Alabama's failing schools, with air quotes here, the failing schools under the Alabama Accountability Act, you know, those that were defined, the 78 schools, they're middle schools. So something's happening in middle school that we've got to figure out. It's not just a test score. There's a whole lot more to it. What is happening in middle schools that is causing this difficulty in achievement?
Do you think it might be related to the fact that, I mean, it's just a really tough age to sort of put all together and try to teach them something?
I do. My son had a middle school principal who, when we started in the sixth grade, said, middle school children are crazy. And said it with a smile on her face. She didn't mean it in a harmful way, but she said, you know, we're going to have some tough years to get through, so let's get through this together. And her approach was a good one. And in that particular school, the teachers, I think, understood kids are hormonal. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of self-sorting and self-identification. Who do you want to be? Who do you think you're supposed to be? This sort of stuff. So another thing that Dr. Bice talks a lot about is getting the school counselor back to the school counselor role instead of as a helpful test administrative person. So, you know, when you look at all the things that have sort of broken down over the, you know, last maybe 15 or 20 years, what kind of supports do we have for kids in middle school? Why do their achievement levels keep rising to the level of news?
So the headline of the story is that Alabama 8th graders rank 50th out of 52 jurisdictions. The report includes Washington, D.C. and Defense Department schools. Is it really that dismal? Is there something else going on here? What do you think about that?
I think that it's always dangerous to look at one test score in isolation. When you look at Alabama's history, our 8th graders have never done well in math on the NAEP. And I think that you have to ask yourself, why is that? It isn't news. I mean, it's not unusual. So one of the things that you need to look at is what is the expectation level of proficiency? And PARCA, the Public Affairs Research Council of Alabama, has done a wonderful job of pointing out that what Alabama thinks is proficient is not what NAEP thinks is proficient. Okay?
How so?
The ARMT, which is no longer in use, but this was the test that we used for a number of years, developed in Alabama, Alabama Reading and Mathematics Test, given to grades 3 through 8, there were four levels. Level 3 was considered proficient. Level 4 was above proficient, okay? Alabama's schools were told that you will meet proficiency if your kids score at a level 3 or 4. NAEP, on the other hand, PARCA mapped it out. Only level 4 on the ARMT meets NAEP's level of proficiency, okay? So we were using a lower bar. Simple example, there are a lot of figures out there, but we would say that 80% of our third graders are proficient, where, you know, at level 3 or 4, NAEP might say that's only 22% proficient. And that's been written about for years, this wide gap between what Alabama calls proficient and what NAEP calls proficient. So that's an expectation gap, you know, for lack of a better phrase. It's not necessarily an achievement gap. It's just that we didn't hold our kids to that higher NAEP level of proficiency.
Do you think race or poverty play a role here?
Generally speaking, yes, of course they do. And I think that's why NAEP offers this wonderful tool. I love data tools. It offers a great tool called the Data Explorer, where you can go in and break down those scores by race, by you can even look at how long teachers have been teaching. You can look at what math classes those eighth graders have taken and are expected to take or expect that they will take. That's deep, rich information. That's, I think the data experts call that drilling down. You know, you can't just look at the sum. You have to look at the parts that went into the sum. And there's a huge difference between kids who are white and kids who are black and kids who are Hispanic. There's a difference between kids based on kids' scores based on the level of their mother's education. There's a difference in how long their teachers have been teaching math. There's the quick look, the one statistic that stood out to me when I started drilling down into this data was when you look at what math classes have the kids taken by the time they're in the eighth grade, because not everybody took. It was only a recent expectation that kids would take Algebra 1 in the eighth grade in Alabama. So have they taken Algebra 1? Have they taken, you know, what progression are they on? Are they taking geometry in the eighth grade? So that, you know, if you haven't been taught the material, you can't do well on the test. And so the NAEP doesn't line up with any Alabama course of study. And that's where you have to figure out, well, do the kids have the content knowledge to even take the test?
Is that maybe, though, a chicken or the egg thing? You know, the kids who are not doing well in math are less likely to sort of sign up for certain courses as time goes on, or they're less likely to be placed in certain courses as time goes on?
Well, you said two things there. You said sign up and placed, and those two are very different things, because if you are allowing kids to sign themselves up as 13-year-olds for an advanced math course, and they are involved in band or sports or something, they might think, oh, I don't need that extra homework. So it's really the adult's responsibility, the teachers, counselors, parents, assistant principals, people who say, you know what, I think you can do this. I want to see you challenge yourself. I was fortunate with my children. My children were surrounded by teachers who said, try this. It might be a little hard. You might even earn a B instead of an A, but putting forth the effort is going to get you better prepared for the next level.
The State Education Department, they've made some comments to the effect that this low ranking shows that Alabama's past math standards were just too low. We weren't asking or demanding enough from our kids. What do you think about that? I mean, as a former teacher, I know that the standards that are written down somewhere, that's one variable, but there are so many other variables. Do you think that the standards being too low is really a central problem here?
I have not been a teacher, so all of that escapes me. But the idea, you know, the philosophy surrounding standards and are they high enough? Sure, that feeds into it. If you've got one child who's 13 and you say, you know, we've got educational standards in place, but we think, okay, you're supposed to be taking, you know, math 8, but we think you can go on into algebra. That's not age related. You know, you can put a child in algebra if you have the staff at your school, if you have the resources available to offer that algebra class to an eighth grader, then the eighth grader could take algebra. And to me, it isn't so much about what the standards were and what they are now, although I'm sure that feeds into it. That's just not my area of expertise. It's not so much about where the standards were and where they're going. It's what do we expect of the child? Do we just say, okay, eighth grade, you must do this. Ninth grade, you must do that. What about multi-age groupings? You know, why must you be 13 to take Algebra 1? Or, you know, could a sixth grader take Algebra 1? And it's these sort of parameters within which we operate, that our schools have operated, that might be holding kids back.
Okay, so the Alabama College and Career Ready standards, which includes the Common Core, which is very controversial on it, in its own right, those are better aligned with the NAEP questions, do you think, in the future than the fact that Alabama has moved to these new standards? Do you think that might help on this particular test?
Yes. Anytime you have your standards better aligned to a test, your test results are probably going to be better. It's all about, is the test measuring what we want kids to know, right? I mean, that's always been the frustration for me as one who loves test results. I love the metrics of it. But if it's not a test that matters, then why do we even need to look at the result? Obviously, NAEP matters. I'm not making a judgment call here. NAEP matters. But to me, it's more about making sure that the content that the children are learning is going somewhere for them. Are they going to use that knowledge? Is it going to help them in their future coursework? Is it getting them better prepared for college? Is it getting them better prepared for a career, two-year college, vocational school, whatever their choices are? I can't say that. Again, that's just not my area of expertise. But, you know, when you hear folks talk about the Common Core, they will tell you they believe these math standards are going to take kids farther up the math train than the previous standards did.
Do you have thoughts on the either the value or the validity of the NAEP test?
NAEP is one of those institutions that when you're a young activist 10 or 12 years ago, you're told about NAEP scores because NAEP really hasn't changed that much over the years. And so it's been that one constant. You know, 10 years ago, we used a test called the Stanford Achievement Test in Alabama. And at my children's elementary school, we didn't do so well performing on that test, particularly in the third grade. I was told by district officials, well, that test doesn't really match up with the Alabama course of study. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So then, with No Child Left Behind, we were told to develop our own state test. Or we were given the opportunity to develop a state test. So we developed the Alabama Reading and Math Test. And that was supposed to be, this is great. We're measuring what we want kids to know. Well, we also had, and now we don't use that anymore, 10 years later. We had the Alabama High School Graduation Exam, right? And that was touted as, hey, this is great. This is going to be wonderful. Our graduates are going to be prepared. But in the last couple of years, you know, we've gotten rid of the graduation exam and we've heard state education officials say it was a low bar. So not to become cynical, but, you know, where is the bar? Have we set the bar high enough? Is it too high? You know, you don't want kids to get discouraged, but you do have to aim at something. And so you just want to make sure that what you're aiming at is attainable for kids. I happen to believe that kids can learn at high levels if they're given the proper resources and supports. So what the test says, it's one metric, is one way to say, how are Alabama's kids doing in relation to other people's kids? And I do think that some basis of comparison is necessary because we don't have 14-foot walls around the border of our state. Our kids are moving in and out, and kids are coming in, kids are leaving. We have to understand that we are the United States.
Is there anything that you think the press coverage of this recent report of Alabama's ranking, is there anything that the press has been missing? Is there anything lacking in the media coverage?
Well, I think any time that you are working with a constrained amount of space, which typically newspapers do or digital media does, you can only get a certain number of ideas into a certain number of column inches. So I think that The good thing about this is it started a conversation. And that's what I've always said about test scores. They start a conversation. It isn't the end-all, be-all. You know, what would be sad for me is for people to just say, oh, Alabama's eighth graders are just terrible, the end, and then move on to the next subject. That's what I'm trying to help, you know, explore. Okay, why? Why are our eighth grade math scores so low? Is it our expectations? Is it our resources? There are a whole lot of things that go into a test score. So the media started the conversation, and I appreciate that.